we thank you for listening. We appreciate you being here. We're glad that you migrated from our afternoon drive slot back to where we've always enjoyed doing the show, which is middays 1 to 4. Thank you very much for coming out. So tomorrow, we've got game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals, and then Friday will be game 1 of the Western Conference Finals, and it will not be Lakers-Clippers because the Clippers did the clippiest thing ever last night when they lost game 7.
And I'm still in disbelief, but we probably should have got to this sooner. We're going to let you guys react to it. We're going to open the phones. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Mace, one of my followers on Twitter is someone named OG Laker Dana.
Okay.
She describes herself as Dana is 6 feet, blonde, college basketball, volleyball player, a lawyer, magician, and lifelong NBA and Lakers fan and blogger.
She sounds very like a very impressive person.
And she writes this: all year long, the Lakers have gotten a tidal wave of disrespect, and the Clippers were lifted up and practically handed a polished Larry O'Brien trophy by the press, by the Clippers, by the Clipper fans, by the Laker haters. The bubble doesn't change teams. The bubble reveals teams.
Ah, that's a really good
line.
Isn't
OG Dana right? Like, the Clippers just didn't want to be there.
They
like,
never seemed in sync. They all got there late.
Lemon Pepper Lou didn't value it. You know, he'd rather go to Magic City than go to the bubble. You know, Pat Beverly didn't go into the bubble on time. Montrezl Harrell tragically, I think, lost a grandmother, and so he had to go in late. Nothing you can do about that. But
what's weird, John, is it just never came together. As you watched it last night, they're a clunky. It's a clunky-looking team. It's a team that is out of sync. It's a team that clearly hasn't played enough together, and one of the reasons for that is all of the rest that those guys take. Kawhi and Paul George, the games they sit out, those are games where they could be establishing a better rhythm with teammates. And I do agree, by the way, with OG Dana, I think it is, right?
Yeah, OG Laker Dana.
OG Lakers Dana. I think that the Clippers were handed this title before they even made it through the second round of the playoffs. I think people were expecting the Clippers to win, and there was a sense of entitlement that went with that that led to their demise last night.
And they were also trying to short-circuit the process. You know, you have to learn how to win a title in most sports. And the Clippers' attitude from the beginning has been, we're going to load manage. We don't feel like playing Kawhi and Paul George. We're not going to play them. If Pat Beverly needs 3-4 days off. And so the end result was they get to the bubble, and I think they had 10 games where they had their whole team. And then three guys show up late for the bubble. And so if you're going to treat the regular season like it doesn't matter, then your chemistry is probably not going to be there in the postseason. Now, they were almost so talented that they got away with it.
Hang on a second. Jorge, do you have what Lemon Pepper Lou said?
Came up short. Just briefly, we had a conversation already amongst the guys that, you know, we got a quick turnaround. We understand this is going to be quick off season, and let's get back to work and let's continue to build. You know, we did have championship expectations. We had the talent to do it. I don't think we had the chemistry to do it in this show. You know, we had lapses on defense and on offense where, you know, I think guys have played in systems where they were expecting guys to be in certain spots. Offensively, a lot of different guys made adjustments. And so, you know, it showed, you know. But at the end of the day, we were up 3-1. We had two opportunities to win games. We were up 20 points. We should have closed this deal out, and we didn't. So you give credit to Denver for continuing to play. And like I said, we take our lumps and we keep moving.
So even Lou admitted it.
No chemistry.
That they had no chemistry.
Yeah.
And there was a reason for that. And, you know, he said, we got a quick turnaround. We're going to turn around and, you know, come back and win it. But Kendrick Perkins was on the jump today with Rachel Nichols, and Kendrick says they're going to blow it all up. He says he's got an inside source that says the Clippers are going to blow this whole
roster up. What would that even look like? What would that look like?
It'd primarily be bench guys. He might be talking about Doc. You know, Kendrick played for Doc.
Yep.
So he knows Doc well. Maybe he's talking to him or somebody in that world. Maybe Doc has had it. Doc, you know, that's 7 years of Doc being unable to get him out of the second round.
Yeah, yeah, it's
and Doc
true.
Doesn't need the money.
No.
And maybe he feels like nobody listened to him. I don't know. I think we're going to get some answers in the coming days. Let's go to Manuel in Gardena. Hey, Manuel, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey,
Manuel, what's up?
How the hell are you? Hey, producer Lindsay, shout out. So, hey, real quick, I think since last summer, the Clippers disrespected the game. I mean, all of the NBA. And think about it. Remember Kawhi's uncle was pretty much hand-delivering them to the Lakers. They waited until the 11th hour, kind of messed up the Lakers' mojo, or tried to at least, you know, in the free agent thing, and pulled the rug from under them and then jumped ship to the Clippers. So that was number one. Pandemic Paul, same thing. You know what I mean? Been talking for years about, oh, how he wants to be in purple and gold, then all of a sudden he gets cold feet. And, you know, when you disrespect the game, sometimes the game will disrespect you back. And as in sometimes, I mean all the time. So they better learn respect for the game. That's all I got for you guys.
That's good, man. That's good.
Thank you, Manuel. By the way, the Dodgers have blown it open in San Diego. They're up 6-1
Will Smith, a two-run double, and Cody Bellinger, an RBI single, so it's 6-1, yeah.
Yeah, all right, here's Eric in Covina. Hey, Eric, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Oh, God, this is what a great day, other than the Lakers winning a winning a championship. You know, I'm tired of seeing the billboards of all this great attitude they had, this new thing they're bringing. I'm tired of seeing them wearing the all-black jerseys like they're Darth Vader. You know what? If this was a monster movie, it's like them wanting to be Godzilla, and you got Godzuki. You know, I mean, Kawhi didn't want to come to Lakers. That's fine. He wanted, got them to get Paul George. They got them. He chose to go to the Clippers. You know what? You all could have came to the Lakers. You could have made a great team, a far beyond infinity team. And you got what you got by trying to undermine it and try to be the Lakers of the other side of town. So you all got what you deserve. You got to earn a championship. You can't just walk on the court and expect somebody to give you the trophy.
Yeah, but wait a minute. What about L.A. our way?
What about streetlights, not spotlights? What about Kawhi's commercial? We would tell you how it ends, but you already know. Yeah, we kind of do. You go out in the second round like every other year.
So awesome.
By the way, did you, Jorge, dig this up and let me know if you have it. Did you hear Michael Thompson appear on Scott Kaplan's show last night, mates?
I heard about it.
Okay, so this was Scott Kaplan had Michael as a guest on his night show last night, and this was the beginning of that call.
Now, Michael Thompson is back on the Scott Kaplan Show on 710. Good evening, Michael.
Wait, I can't stop laughing. Oh, I got to stop. Oh, wait, okay. All right, I'll try to calm down. Oh, please, somebody stop me. Somebody, please. Wait.
No, Michael, keep going. Keep going, please.
Oh, jeez. My stomach's hurting. My jaws are hurting. I've been laughing for the last 20 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
Stop. Okay. Okay. Let me try to calm down. Oh. Oh, this is painful. I need to go take something. Call me back in an hour, will you? Oh, okay. Jeez, Michael. Be professional. Okay, let's go. Okay.
That's awesome. See, John, there's a distinction between you and I that is key in all of this.
Which is?
I hate the Clippers.
Yeah, I don't.
See, to me, last night was nothing short of glorious because the team that I hate, the second most in the NBA, crashed and burned.
Well, what do I always say, Mace, comes before the fall?
Pride?
Hubris.
Hubris comes before the fall. That's correct.
And they were guilty of having massive amounts of hubris.
Yeah, they were overly hubris.
They basically – took a shot at the Lakers. Their whole campaign was streetlights, not spotlights, L.A. our way.
Well, now we know what their L.A. looks like.
Yeah.
And actually, they're going to know what L.A. looks like again.
So the whole thing was based on, we're coming for you, Lakers.
Yep.
And when they had the opportunity to play the Lakers for the first time ever in the playoffs, they were the number two seed in the West. They wet the bed.
Yep.
Here is Mike in Glendale. Hey, Mike, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, Mike.
Mike, you there? Okay, Richard in Anaheim. Hey, Richard, you're on 710 ESPN.
What's up, guys?
What's
only
up,
thing
man?
Better than a Laker win is a Clippers loss. That's all
yeah.
I got to say.
I hear you, brother. That's exactly how I feel.
Yes, all that smack talk about who's taking over. And, you know, they have been better for the last few years, especially after Kobe was gone. And when he was injured, but they didn't do a single thing. They had the opportunity. That window's going to close on them. It is closed on them, and that's it. This is Laker town, no matter what.
Thank you, Richard, for the phone call. It'll be very interesting to see what happens next.
Right. It will be.
If they just
my prediction, by the way, John, is nothing.
They'll just bring everybody back.
I think they'll bring everybody back. And like Lou Williams said, they're missing chemistry. Maybe they'll develop some of that next year. But the pieces don't fit as well as we originally thought they were going to fit. And I do think a lot of it, you said hubris comes before the fall. I think the word is self-entitlement. They were self-entitled. They had this idea that they were, as your Twitter friend said, that they were going to be handed the Larry O'Brien trophy, and they had been coronated already because everybody was picking them to win it all, and the pressure was all on them last night. Denver was playing with house money, and Denver just flat out outplayed them, and Paul George and Kawhi disappeared in the fourth quarter, absolutely disappeared in the fourth quarter.
Now, I can't remember, Karen Kay, Shoshana, are you a Clipper fan?
Hell no. I mean, heck no. Sorry. But you know who is? You know who is? My baby brother, John. And I can't reach him today. Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah. Sorry, John.
Sorry, John.
Yeah, Mace, what was Marcellus Wiley's response when you offered him a chance to come on the show?
Marcellus Wiley responded, can't come on. Contract stuff. Would have been fun, though.
Boo.
Yeah, that's chicken.
Yeah, boo.
I mean, maybe it is contract stuff, but I did hear him on Max's show.
Well, he probably got an exemption for Max because they were together for so long.
But boy, it would be fun. It would be fun.
Yeah.
All right, so, Karen, are there desperate Clipper fans driving around recklessly on the freeways now?
Has Clipper Daryl wrecked his red and blue car?
Oh, my God. You know, I think he blocked me on some social media platform. I don't know which one.
Yeah, he's been awfully quiet today.
He's so quiet. Hopefully he's not in an accident. I don't wish that on anyone.
No.
I don't. I'm not that mean, but no, I'm not that mean.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Michael Jackson there. Loser! Loser! Theme of the day, the Clippers. Losers.
All right, so.
Choke artists.
Mace, when you got to see Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
In person.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember who the musical guest was?
She was actually not just the musical guest. She was the host. It was Halsey.
Okay. So are you aware that Halsey is a gigantic Lakers fan?
Gigantic.
So she started up, you know, her regular social media accounts are all under at Halsey, but she started up at Halsey and One.
Spelled out O-N-E.
Yeah, because she wanted a place to tweet about basketball, and all of her tweets are pretty much about the Lakers. She loves the Lakers, and she tweets regularly about hoop. So, Lindsay, this is your challenge. You need, before the end of the Lakers' run, which will hopefully culminate in a championship, we need to get Halsey on the show. You think you can do it?
I'm one step ahead of you and actually reached out 2 days ago. I've not heard back yet, but...
Okay, so you're on it.
I'm on it.
On it.
I love that.
Oh, I love it, too. I love it, too. And by the way, her tweets, she's smart. She's a smart basketball fan, too.
Yeah, you can
she
tell.
She really does know her stuff.
You can tell that she's really into it.
All right, so I wanted to play something that Brian Windhorst said earlier today, a couple of things he said earlier today. I don't know if this was on the Get Up or if this was on the Jump or where it came from. But Brian Windhorst talked about this being a golden opportunity for LeBron.
LeBron has been given a glorious opportunity. The Bucks are gone. The Clippers are gone. Those are the two teams that we thought for months were the teams that were going to give them problems. All right? He is holding in his hand a chance at that fourth title, a chance at that winning that title with that third team, putting another banner up at Staples, legendary status as a Laker going forward. He's got to take it. He could play another 3 years of the Lakers and not get this opportunity again, whether it's the Clippers or Heat or whoever, wherever Giannis goes or whatever happens. So his eyes are wide open on this one. He knows. So he's got to take it.
And it is an amazing opportunity for LeBron. All of a sudden, the field is cleared. I mean, what did I say all year long? Give me the Lakers, the Clippers, or the Bucks, and you take the field. So there's only one remaining of the so-called super teams. The one that is still standing, the Lakers.
And here's the difference between me and you.
Yep.
I think the Nuggets are dangerous.
And I think it's Lakers in five.
Yeah, I think it's Lakers in six, but I think they're dangerous. And I also think either the Heat or the Celtics could be dangerous. I don't think I think you got to play the series in front. I guarantee
well, of
you
course.
This is what Frank Vogel thinks.
Of course, yeah. I mean, but we always make predictions before a series, and I say it's going to be Lakers in five.
Yeah, I think you're close. I'm going Lakers in six, but let's see. I thought it would be Lakers in six in the Houston series, and they got it done in five.
I'm having a fight with not stepdad Leo right now because I used the word coronated in the last segment, and there's a debate about whether or not coronated is a word or should I have said crowned. He's really annoying me right now.
No, coronated is a word.
Yeah, I think coronated is a word.
It's the past tense of coronate.
Yes, that's what I keep telling him, but he keeps arguing. I mean, my text is blowing up.
Yeah, all right,
so
right,
Brian Windhorst, again, this was from a special Emergency Hoops Collective podcast. Here he is on the widespread slander of the Clippers right now.
My phone is such a mess right now. I mean, I am getting texts from executives, agents. I got a text from an owner a little bit ago. People around the game, workout guys, assistant coaches from other teams, coaches. The chatter that is happening right now in the NBA, I mean, I just live in one little corner of it. Imagine the players out there right now. I mean, you think Dame and CJ are going off on Twitter. Can you imagine what's going on in some group texts right now? Oh, my God.
And that goes back to what you were talking about earlier about how they operated with some type of air of superiority that they really never earned.
No, never earned. We always assumed, well, it doesn't look right now, but by the time we get to the playoffs, it will look right. And the truth is, it never looked right. It never flowed. They didn't make shots when it mattered. I mean, that was honestly there may not be a clearer case of choking than what Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, playoff P, did in the fourth quarter of that game last night. They did not make a shot. At one point, Paul George hit the side of the backboard in a corner three attempt. I mean, that is just an absolute choke on the part of, you know, Kawhi, one of the top five players in the game without question, and Paul George, who's probably, I don't know, a top 15. Is he a top 15 player, do you think?
Not anymore.
Maybe not anymore.
You know, the all NBA teams came out today.
Oh yeah, how'd they go?
All right, so take a shot. First, I think you'll do a pretty good job at guessing the first team. Who do you think's on it?
Okay, so the first team is gonna go Giannis, AD, LeBron.
Correct. All three.
I'll go Harden and Kawhi.
You're very close. Harden and Luka.
Luka. Good for Luka. That's who I wanted to be on the first team.
Kawhi goes to the second team with Jokic, Lillard, Chris Paul, and Pascal Siakam.
Mm.
The third team was Jason Tatum, Jimmy Butler, Rudy Gobert, Ben Simmons, and Russell Westbrook. Paul George missed a lot of games with injuries, but Mace, are we sure that Paul George is an elite player anymore? I mean, that was...
Well, not after last night. There are serious questions. There are serious questions because it was the least clutchy performance you could possibly see.
Well, and it just seems to me that he's never won anything, and he can't be the best player on a championship team. And everybody thought that he was going to be like the wingman to Kawhi, but he didn't even come close to not only making any of the all-NBA teams. I think there's questions now as to if he's a top 15 player in the league at all. By the way, when LeBron and AD both made the all-NBA first team in the same season,
right?
They were the first teammates to do it since 2006 when Amari Stoudemire and Steve Nash were on it. But listen to the list of times where two teammates have made all-NBA first teams. So that's two of them.
Yep.
Okay, there's only six more.
Okay.
Here they are. Shaq and Kobe, three times. Jordan and Pippen, once. Malone and Stockton, two times. Bird and McHale, once. Magic and Kareem, two times. And Julius Erving and Moses Malone, once.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's it. That's the list. So it's a pretty big deal that both Anthony Davis and LeBron James made All-NBA first team. It doesn't happen very often. Only eight times in the history of the league.
Wow, that's incredible. Coming up next for you, John, I've got a really important silly question. I think we're allowed to do dumb stuff today.
Amen.
I've got a dumb question for you, and it's for you, Jorge, and it's for you, Lindsay. Dumb question that has been asked before, but I want your answers now. That's coming up next for you. Then we got Game of Games coming up for you in 15 minutes. And after that, we got Crosstalk with George and LZ, your afternoon drive show. And Purgatory is coming up at just about 3:55. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin. And the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
That's Limp Bizkit. Loser. It's for all you Clipper fans. You know what? I'm such a jerk. But I'm so happy that the Clippers are out.
Yeah. It brings people great joy for some reason that the Clippers have been eliminated.
It's Schadenfreude, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like when you enjoy the misfortune of somebody else. All right, by the way, tomorrow I want to make sure everybody knows I've gotten a lot of questions on Twitter about this. Steve Fezzik, the Fez, will make his triumphant return to the show tomorrow and every Thursday at 1:40 p.m. And also tomorrow, Matthew Berry, ESPN fantasy football expert, will join us at 2:30, and he'll do that every single week. So Thursdays, big football day here on Mason and Ireland with the Fez and the talented Mr. Roto. All right, so here's the question. I got into this debate over the weekend. Would you rather, and this is not a new question, but it's an old question that has different answers. Would you rather have the power to fly or the power of invisibility? Power to fly, power of invisibility.
Power to fly? I live in Los Angeles. It would think about it. It would eliminate traffic forever. I would have no traffic ever. I'd like fly like Superman.
Yep.
But
that's your only power is to fly.
That's way better than being invisible.
No, invisible's great.
Oh, how so?
You can sneak around with nobody looking at you.
You can rob a bank. You wouldn't even have to rob
it. You could conceivably walk in, take money out of a bank. You could do it. Now I would use my powers for good. I wouldn't use my powers for evil.
Well, you could.
Tell me that you wouldn't take advantage of that in any way, shape, or form and use it to get money.
To get money.
No, but yeah. It could. No, Mace, it's a tremendous business advantage. For example, like you went through that drawn-out lawsuit. You could have walked in and heard the strategy session from the other side.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
Okay, in like the case of us, in contract negotiations, you could just walk into the room when they were talking about like how much they'd really be willing to offer or if you were about to get fired or, you know, you would know in advance.
Sneaking in on Amanda, finding out the actual story of things.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. I would say sneak in on Bergman, but I don't think he has control over anything.
Yeah. Well, he got rid of Fast Track.
He got rid of Fast Track. That's right. That was his one crowning achievement. He was coronated as the guy who killed
I caught that, man.
Fast Track. And he is on with our calls and stuff like that. He seems to be doing something, but I'm not sure what he has control over exactly. Do you know, Lindsay, what does Greg have control over? Bergman.
Have to go bet you on that.
Yeah. Well, he produces Sedano's show, doesn't
he? I think that's his assignment, right? He's the assistant program director and the producer of Sedano and LZ.
He sends out the program.
The schedule. He sends out the schedule, the really long, complicated schedule. Yes, he does. So, Jorge, you were ability to fly?
Yep, 100%.
And, Lindsay, your ability to fly?
No, I'm walking through walls.
There you go. I'm with Lindsay.
Wow, you're blowing a great opportunity.
Oh, you're blowing a great opportunity, man.
Yeah. Great opportunity. Sure, flying would be great, but you know what? We'll all be able to fly eventually someday.
The places we could go. By the way, text from Greg Bergman. I do nothing, period. Glad he's rolling with that. By the way, the Dodgers are having a really good afternoon. We should let you know that. They broke the game open on a Will Smith double and on a Cody Bellinger RBI single. And right now the Dodgers.
Okay. So I want to ask, go ahead, finish your. They're up 7-1, right?
Yeah, Dodgers are up 7-1.
Okay, so did you see yesterday where Rob Manfred came out and said he envisions keeping the current playoff format, and he says he's got support from ownership to do it.
So no way.
This 8-team playoff format, which we haven't even seen yet, he's talking about keeping. Now, Mace, today's game is a good example about why this playoff format isn't great. If we were in the old playoff format, this game would have meant a lot. The Padres trying to catch the Dodgers and the
Correct.
Padres might need it to get into,
to get
the,
into
playoff.
The playoffs. Yeah.
But now they know they're in. They know they're in the playoffs no matter what. So both teams threw a bullpen game. They just
now, here's where I've got an issue, John. So I'm for the expanded playoff if they turn those first-round series into five-game series.
And by the way, the reason they didn't do it this year is because they don't want to bleed into November, but what you're suggesting is an easy fix. That gets them more money.
Yeah, more money, more games.
You want to take it from best of three to best of five.
Correct, because anything can happen in a three-game series. And
I think you could win that battle.
Yeah, that would be a good way to go. And, you know, we said this earlier, Kenley Jansen is not going to be used today. It's not a save situation anyway. Brewster Graterol, Adam Kolarik, and Dustin May has now thrown four innings of one-hit baseball. So they're getting through it that way. But I am, after last night, the last thing I saw on television last night was Kenley Jansen squeaking out a save after allowing two hit. Yeah, this is basically the sound when they bring Kenley Jansen into the game. It's not California love anymore. It's just this siren going off. I'm done with him as closer. I think you need a rock solid guy in that position at the back of the bullpen, and he's not it anymore. Now, I don't know what's going to happen to him because, you know, my sense is when closers get removed from their jobs, they're very sensitive about that, and some of them don't recover. Some of them aren't good in middle relief.
Right.
So if that's the case,
you wouldn't care if he stopped pitching. He wouldn't care, obviously. But
he would care. But would he adjust to being a seventh inning guy or an eighth inning guy? No, he would not.
And well,
no,
so
he would not.
You just eliminate him from your bullpen. You just say, thank you for your service. And see ya.
Thank you for your service. Now, see ya. He's been a great Dodger.
And he's getting paid a fortune.
Yeah, and he's getting paid a lot. So suck it up, and this would be a good spot for him. Dodgers up 7-1. This is a good spot for Kenley. Hard to screw up a 7-1 game.
All right, so Lindsey has – oh, wait a minute. I just got a note from Jorge.
Yeah, this
we
is
have
good.
We have a Clipper fan on the phone.
An actual Clippers fan.
All right, Jorge, is this true?
Yeah.
Tim in Anaheim. Tim.
That's it, Tim.
You're on 710 ESPN. Tim, how are you holding up today?
Not a great day. Not a great day. But you know, it's 22 years as a fan. It's not been a good 22 years. So
why did you choose the Clippers to root for 22 years ago?
I was in like fifth grade, and they were the underdog, scrappy little team. They just got Darius Miles, who was coming up, and I just liked the idea of rooting for someone before anybody else did. Unfortunately, it's not really held up for me in the long run.
All right, so Tim, is the criticism fair that this team, this particular Clippers team, seemed entitled and didn't take the process seriously? Is that a fair criticism?
I think so, yeah. I think the biggest thing is the Clippers have always been like the scrappy little brother. Coming into this season, I appreciate the fact that the organization's trying to give them more credibility by making them bigger than they really have earned. But unfortunately, you also open yourself up if you can't deliver. And that's ultimately what happened, dropping not just one, but three closeout games.
So here's what's interesting. When my team loses, like when the Rams lose, when the Dodgers lose a big game, when the Lakers lose a series, all that stuff, it makes me physically sick. Like for the Rams lose, I'll have a bad week. I'll have a bad week. Is that the way it's going to be for you? Is this going to have a hangover effect? Is it going to take a couple of days or a couple of months to get over it?
I think so, yeah. Yesterday, it was actually interesting. I was more physically sick after game six just because it was back-to-back games where we dropped a 15-point lead in the half.
Yep.
Last night, it was kind of, as I told my wife beforehand, I was going into it inevitably thinking if they can get there, great. But I'm not holding my breath because I know what the Clippers can do. And it was basically over in the third quarter, realistically, once the fourth quarter started.
Tim,
just me screaming at the TV.
Tim, your answer surprises me because if there's anybody who should be used to losing, it's you, right?
Right.
You've had so much practice, Tim.
Absolutely.
So I would think this is par for the course here.
And absolutely, that's the biggest thing that I can always tell a difference between a Clippers fan who's been around as long as I have and Clippers fans who jumped on the bandwagon when they got Blake Griffin or when they signed Kawhi, you know, last year is they expect something. I expect nothing.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you're a good sport to call in, Tim.
Yeah, thanks, man. I do feel bad for Clippers fans who are emotionally invested.
You do not. Stop lying.
Yeah, but that's what you're supposed to say, so yeah, I said it.
There you go. Tim, right. Have a great day.
Tim, God bless. Talking. Farewell.
Coming up next, Game of Games. It's Lindsey's game, which means Mason theoretically could win two in a row.
Oh, I need it. I need it bad. All right, right now standing by
is that's not true. I won yesterday.
Shosh is here with traffic. Shosh, how you doing?
Well, Steve, I'm good, but what you say to Clipper fans, you just say, bless your heart. Just say that to them. They'll get really angry at you, but it's real fun to say. Just say
that.
That
couldn't
Clipper
be more
fans.
Condescending than bless your heart.
I know. I love saying it.
Or, Karen, another one of those?
What?
Good for you.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, you got to say it like that. Good for you. Like that.
Good job. Good job. Good effort.
Yeah. Such a great day. Sorry.
Yes. Game of Games. Right now, Ireland has won five times in the month of September. Lindsey, twice. Jorge, one. Michael Thompson, an interloper, won one time. And I have won once. It was this week, and it's been a good week for me. It's been a good week for me. I had the Rams winning beating the Cowboys. I had the Clippers losing to Denver. Now I'm going to win this game of games. It is Lindsey's game today. And Lindsey, what's the game?
Good for you, Mace. Good for you.
Good for you.
Thank you. God bless your little heart.
Well, we're going to do a little game of Name That TV Show. This is going to be similar to the alumni game.
Okay.
Where I'm going to list some characters. These are fictional TV characters.
Okay.
And you are going to guess what show they were on.
Now, does each person get a character? Is your name your buzzer?
Well, I was going to ask you guys how you want to do it. I think we should do name is your buzzer.
Yeah, okay. I do too.
Okay.
And so I'll try. I tried to list them in a way to make them difficult to easier. So just like the alumni game, okay, they get a little bit easier as they go along.
Got okay. it.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Any questions? Sound good?
Nope. Sounds good.
Jorge, you right, ready? Cool. You live over there?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
All right. Here we go.
All right. Cool. We'll start off with a little bit of an easier one just to make sure we're all on the same page here. All right. First name, Rachel Green.
John.
Mason.
John.
It's Friends.
That is correct.
Damn. I was right there for that too. I'm going to start right. buzzing in early.
So that one's probably way too easy. All right. Next one. Toby Flenderson.
Jorge.
Pam Beasley.
Jorge.
Jorge.
Jorge?
The Office.
Yep, that's
yeah,
right.
That's true. Jorge. I didn't know Toby's last name. That was good.
All right, next one. Kimmy Gibbler.
John.
John?
Full House.
That is correct.
I'm terrible
John, you
at
got
this game.
Two of these.
I thought you were going to do a game that was good for me, but you didn't do it again.
There are very few on that
you.
List.
Yeah.
All right. You should know this one, Mace. Maria Schrader.
Mason.
Mace?
Who's the boss?
No. I'll keep going.
Just totally guess that.
Skylar
out of the
White. Jesse Pinkman.
John.
Oh!
John?
It's Breaking Bad.
That is correct. John, you got three.
I just
Jorge,
had to wait
one.
On that. Yeah.
Mace, you have zero.
I thought it was I thought it was Who's the Boss.
I was thinking we'd do first of five, so John has three.
Okay.
Come on, Mace.
All right, next
you
one.
You can't get Breaking Bad. You're in trouble, though.
Miranda Hobbs.
Mason.
Mace.
Gilmore Girls.
John.
No. John?
Sex in the City.
That is correct. Mace, God is just killing this game.
I thought it was Gilmore Girls.
All right. Switch it up a little bit. Try and pick a harder one.
Okay.
All right. Alex Voss.
Mason.
Mace.
Good Times.
No, you are just guessing anything.
Jorge.
Jorge.
Orange is the New Black.
That is correct.
Wow. Jorge pulling Orange is the New
two.
Black. That's impressive.
That is awesome. Jorge, I wouldn't
two?
Have got it off of that.
I didn't watch that show.
John, four, and Mace, none. All right.
Good Times.
Next one. Joyce Byers.
Mason.
Mace.
The Jeffersons.
No. No way.
Nope. Next one. Jim Hopper. Mike Wheeler. 11.
Jorge.
Jorge.
Stranger Things.
That is correct.
Wow. Whoa. That's right. 11. I should have gotten.
I've
yep.
never seen right. that show. Oh, Jorge, so basically now you're knocking now, on my door.
Mace, I don't think you're going to catch them, but John's got four. Jorge's got three. Mace is zero.
Okay.
All right. I hope I pronounce this right. Cersei Lannister.
Mason.
Mace.
Game of Thrones.
That is correct. You got one. Right. Great job.
Woo!
I wanted it on that one. All right. Next one. Daryl Dixon.
Mason.
Mace.
Ozark.
No.
Good guess.
Carol Pletier.
Huh?
Maggie Green. Rick Grimes.
Wow.
Okay.
Jorge.
Walking Dead.
Yep, that's right.
Oh, Jorge.
You're in position to steal it.
All right.
Is this the last one?
Well, this if one be... of us gets, if either Jorge or I gets it, it's over.
Okay.
Yep, that's right. Unless you get it, Mace. You can play spoiler.
Okay.
Okay, Stan Marsh.
Mason.
Mace.
It is Fuller House.
Jorge. South Park.
It's right. It's South
and
Park.
And the winner Whoa! Is Jorge.
Hey, what a great comeback.
Jorge, yeah. That is fantastic, man.
Great job. You are
Woo-hoo!
Number two on the board. Mace is still what? You're still shut out, right?
I've got one.
Okay, all right.
I've got one. Good I had job, a really good Jorge. Week. I got
George,
one.
George, that was excellent.
Yeah, that was Thank great. You. Great yeah. performance. Great performance. Really, coming from behind.
Did you guys like that game? Because we yeah, could do that with movies, yeah, whatever. Yeah,
totally cool. good game. Totally good game.
I came back like the Nuggets.
Keep that.
You came back like the Nuggets. That's true.
right, there you have your Game of Games. One quick plug, shameless plug. There is a brand new Culture Pop podcast online right now. It is with Mark Ellis from Rotten Tomatoes, and we do an Emmys preview, and also the Bryan Cranston interview is there as well. Spent an hour with Bryan, really interesting stuff. Go to stevemason.com and click on iTunes or Spotify to subscribe. That's stevemason.com. All right, coming up next for you, we've got Purgatory. George will be here. LZ will be here. Me and Ireland will be here. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Just for the record, I don't fade until 420. The gambler. They played with fire. They played with the Denver Nuggets, and the Denver Nuggets stung them. Clippers out of the playoffs. Purgatory time. LZ is here. LZ, the Clippers, to me, had a great sense of entitlement. I think that everybody had pumped them up. They read too many articles about how they were going to win, saw too many predictions, and they came up flat. What do you think?
I agree with a lot of that, though I think there's one aspect to this conversation that needs more attention.
Okay.
Which is the Denver Nuggets should have never been down 3-1 to begin with. That while it is impressive that they won three in a row and eventually won the series, that maybe, just maybe, they need some more respect, you know, to echo what Jamal Murray was saying. I mean, this is a team that finished third in the Western Conference this year, second last year. They were on the come up. They're very talented. They had a super all-star who might be a top 10 player. Like, they got all the things that would make you a Western Conference final sort of team. And we, I think, were so caught up and what the Clippers could be, that we didn't really give respect to what the Denver Nuggets actually were.
Well, but LZ, let me counter that a little bit, or at least come back at you a little bit on it. If the Nuggets, and I do think that they've pulled off a pretty amazing thing coming back from 3-1 twice, but they did that. They dug that hole themselves, and they were fortunate to win this series. I mean, they came back from 18 down. They came back from 16 down. Last night they came back from 12 down. I mean, that's not a very smart way to play. I mean, if you can do it, great. But they dug those holes themselves, and I think one of the reasons they dug those holes is that once you get, particularly offensively, once you get past Murray and Jokic, other guys had to make shots. Last night they did. But is there anybody else on that team, even Michael Porter, who hasn't been consistent in the postseason, is there anybody else on that team that scares you?
Scare? No. You know, Michael Porter Jr., to your point, is explosive.
Right.
Both as an offensive player and also as just offensive production. Like, he can drop 30 on you on 17 shots.
Right.
And that wouldn't be unusual. He's a rookie, so he'll be inconsistent.
But weren't you very surprised that the Clippers with three lockdown defenders let Jamal Murray go for 40 on him?
Great offense always beats great defense. PG-13.
In a game seven, that's the one
thing. You mean playoff P?
That's the one thing. And George,
you mean way off P.
We got George now, too. George, that's the one thing the Clippers were kind of hanging their hat on was if they got into a game where they weren't making shots, they had three wing defenders who could lock people up. And Jamal Murray, in a game seven with everything on the line, dropped 40 on him.
Right. And here's the thing. None of those guys decided to pick him up, which was the strangest part of everything. And I know that you can target guys nowadays, right? And you can make you can have switches, right, and hunt guys. But, man, it was insane to me that Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, or Pat Beverly, for that matter, did not say in the huddle, I'm grabbing that guy. And so I had this conversation with multiple players over the last couple of days, not just even before. This was even before Game 7. And LZ and I talked about this briefly yesterday on our 15-minute extravaganza.
It was excellent.
It was really good 15 minutes.
I heard that, actually.
I didn't
actually.
Even know I you guys got 15 minutes.
Yeah, we did right 15? After game one. I listened to it. It was you and Greg for a while, and then LZ chipped in. It was a good show. It was a really good show.
And we actually did longer with Scott on his show than we did on our
yeah,
show.
That's
but,
true.
So the reaction was, from all these guys, it was the same reaction. It was, how is it that after the first time this happens to you, and then you have another double-digit lead at halftime, there's not a player on that roster that grabs the team and says, yo, we can't let this thing happen again, okay? We need to finish the deal and close this out. And if Murray starts going off, I'm going to get him.
Kawhi,
Paul
right.
George, Beverly, whatever. Because the players were like, and these are guys from all different backgrounds as far as teams, and they're all like, Doc's going to take all the heat, and I'm not saying he shouldn't take some of the heat, but at some point somebody in that locker room needs to go, I got Jamal Murray, and I'm taking him out. I'm eliminating him.
Well, yeah. Let's look at those personalities. Kawhi leads by example. Paul George thinks he's leading, but he's always following. But he thinks he's leading.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Beverly talks like a leader, but he doesn't have the game that necessarily makes him a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at Denver, I mean, let's be real for a second. The person who shook them up was Michael Porter Jr., the rookie.
Right.
Who spoke, quote-unquote, out of turn during the post-match conference. But guess what happened?
When they were down 3-1, you're right.
Yes, what happened after that? They won 3 straight and a whole bunch of guys got involved offensively. So you don't necessarily need a superstar to be the leader. You just need someone willing to make people upset.
Let me ask you guys something. Kendrick Perkins was on The Jump today with Rachel and
Jefferson.
And RJ. And Kendrick said, George, it sounds like you watched. He said, I have a source. And, of course, Kendrick played for Doc. He knows him.
Yeah.
He said, I have a source that is telling me the Clippers are going to break this thing up. What does that mean? Does that, George, do you think that means there's even a possibility that Doc is not coming back? Or they can't, that there's only a couple of free agents that, I mean, Marcus Morris is a free agent, Montrezl Harrell is a free agent. Everybody else is signed. What do you think Kendrick's referring to?
I think that he means as far as trading guys. I think that they're, look, clearly I think Harrell, they have to kind of revisit that. You can't have Harrell, as great as Harrell and Lou Will were during the regular season, you can expose them in the postseason, as we've seen. Okay,
I think another team is going to offer him so much money, George, that they can't keep him.
Yeah, Dallas. Dallas is going to be that team. It's going to happen. It's going to be interesting because him and Luka Doncic obviously had their dust-up, but they cleared that up very quickly towards the end of that series. But I think you're right. I think he's on to something, and we'll have Ramona on at 5:15, and she's going to, she'll have tons of insight on it.
Sure.
And I agree with him, though. I think that everything is on the table. Would you be surprised, any of you? Mace, I'll start with you.
Okay.
The Alliance.
The Alliance.
Would you be surprised if Paul George was dangled in a deal? After all they traded for him, wouldn't you want to get something back there and say, we probably can find a better fit with Kawhi?
Well, you're listening to KSPN Los Angeles.
Oh.
Very good.
And, I would say, look, all bets have got to be off. Just got eliminated in an unbelievably embarrassing way, blowing a 3-1 series lead with your two stars falling unbelievably short in the fourth quarter. Yeah. I mean, Paul George was last seen taking a corner three and hitting the backboard. I mean, I would explore all avenues to get this team better.
Well, it's my understanding, having talked to people, that Paul George is, in fact, the one that they would dangle because he wasn't what they thought he was when they got him.
Hmm.
And, the people that I've spoken to made it sound as if it was more about a personality thing than a basketball thing.
Hmm.
Though I would say that there's got to be some basketball in there, too. Because after a while, if you keep getting lit up and keep coming up short, city by city, team by team, running mate by running mate, at some point it's you. It's not they didn't put a good team together. It's not, CJ Miles didn't hit the open jumper or, Russ was injured. At some point it's you, dog.
LZ, yes. here's a made-up out of thin air trade, all right?
Listen.
Andrew Wiggins and Eric Paschal – for Paul George, who says no?
You mean Eric Paschall? Pascal.
Yeah.
What did you call him?
Paschall.
Paschall.
Yeah. I was like, who's like, you had me confused for a second.
My grandmother used to say Paschall.
Paschall. Yeah. So Eric Paschall and who?
Andrew Wiggins.
No.
To make the money work.
No. Andrew Wiggins. I don't want anything near Andrew.
So what's
the point? I don't want anything near Andrew Wiggins.
Well, because if the Clippers are desperate to move Paul George.
No. You can get better than that.
Well, what do you – okay.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, that is not a good move if
right?
you're the Clippers. Like, well, I don't want Andrew Wiggins.
I think, first of all, they have to figure out, you know, what they need. And to me, what they need is what they didn't try to – what, you know, left them in the offseason a couple years ago, and that is Chris Paul or a Chris Paul type. They need a leader.
Here's what they need.
A vocal leader.
Look, Kawhi is on a one-year deal, basically, and so is Paul George.
Yeah, they have one left now.
Why not call Toronto and say, Paul George for Kyle Lowry, and you get some picks back or something?
That's a good deal.
That's a good deal.
I wouldn't do it if I was Toronto. Masai's
yeah,
not
Toronto,
stupid.
I mean, he is their guy.
Although, they may lose Fred Van Vliet anyway.
Yeah, yeah, that would allow them, that would allow them to keep Van Vliet, LZ.
Right.
Yeah, so, but
I think
again,
Van Vliet may be the best free agent out there.
Yeah, but you guys keep looking at making the numbers work, and that's smart. But what do the Clippers need, and what does the team that's receiving
well,
and Paul George need? And I would say that the Toronto Raptors don't need a Paul George.
Well, I would say this, that the Toronto Raptors, Masai Ujiri, since he's one of the smarter GMs in the sport, I think that he's going to want to try – if his team is looking at the trade deadline, right, or even in the offseason, if he thinks – like if he loses Van Vliet or he's about to lose Van Vliet and and that may be the way to keep him, even with Paul George as a rental – I think he believes in – they believe in their culture and Nick Nurse and all that stuff that they can get the best out of people.
All right, here's the irony of ironies. Isn't the perfect fit – and I realize it's impossible. I realize it cannot happen. But isn't exactly what the Clippers need Chris Paul?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, that's what I said.
But that's not happening because
– they need Chris Paul.
Yeah, but yeah. Kyle Lowry is like a diet version of that is what I'm saying. Like, and they may not need, even though I agree with you 1,000,000%, Chris Paul would be number one. That's not going to happen for numerous reasons. Unless it's like a four-team deal. It could,
well,
you know,
and Doc would have to go. I don't think Doc and CP could make up.
Correct.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously? He kept Paul George on the team, and we all know that background.
With the daughter stuff.
Come on.
Well, baby, it got pretty bad at the end with CP3 and the Clippers.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. But I do think that they will explore possibilities. I think Lowry could be on the move because he's got 1 year left on his deal. And I think that Lowry and Kawhi, you know that works. They need a real point guard, a la Chris Paul, a la Kyle Lowry. Someone who's tough, someone who's defensive-minded. And I think that someone who's willing to be the vocal leader, even though he's not the best player, and he fits that whole model too. So I just think that there are things out there that they can do. I mean, again, it's all reckless speculation on our part.
Right. And assuming that, like, here's another one. Like, we've heard this Chris Paul may go to Milwaukee thing.
Yeah.
That makes Middleton somewhat expendable.
Correct.
Middleton to the Clippers, Paul George to the Bucks. You'd have other pieces involved.
Spinning your wheels.
Like that.
I don't know about that.
That's just a wheel spinner.
Well, yeah, but I'm just – but what I'm trying to address is LZ, your contention that if they want to change the chemistry and they're committed to moving him, they're going to want to get a scorer back.
They're going to want to get a leader back.
Yes, and Middleton is not that.
Right. You can't have another guy who's just going to be quiet when things go wrong.
Right. You need Kyle Lowry fits that, right? Chris Paul fits that.
All right. By the way, I didn't mean to interrupt your point, George, but we only got a couple of minutes, and I wanted to get a thought because I know how closely you're watching this series.
Yeah.
That Boston-Miami series
looks
like it's going to be fantastic.
Epic. 7 games written all over it, right?
I thought both teams played great. I thought both – the only thing I didn't like – was the free throw they gave Tatum at the end of regulation.
Oh, awful. Did you see the two-minute report? The two-minute report came
joke.
Out today, and they said they got it wrong, that that Marcus Smart flopped and that Derrick Jones should not have gotten that. I thought I'm surprised
Other
Spoelstra –
Other than that, it was almost a perfect game.
I thought Spoelstra – I'm surprised Spoelstra was so composed in arguing with the refs. Like, he was very just like – I think he was just, like, stunned. Because I would have gone berserk in that situation.
Wait, had he used his challenge?
He had already used it and got it and won a challenge. Yeah.
But I thought that Bam Adebayo block was
crazy.
It was a top five block of maybe all time. I mean, with considering what was on the line, I mean, LeBron's block in the finals is the best block I've ever seen. But I think that might be either second or third. That was
LeBron's got
good.
Two blocks in the finals that are really good. Don't forget the Tiago splitter one.
Yep.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
I mean, that series.
But it was Tiago.
And by the way, how in the world have four teams given up on Jimmy Butler?
Yeah.
No.
Three.
What?
Three in Miami.
I would say that those franchises that thought Jimmy wasn't good for them,
yep,
they would take him back right now.
Yeah, sure. You're right.
If he called.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
think about it. LZ, that's a great point. Chicago, Minnesota, and Philly are all trending down.
Yes. Talk about a leader. Basically, what Jimmy has alluded to without saying it directly, the times I've covered their games this year, it's basically that if you look at those rosters, the reason Jimmy wasn't there wasn't because he wanted more touches, more shots, right? Oh, none of that stuff. It was, I just want everyone to play as hard as me. I want to be a hard ass because I want everyone to play as hard as me. I want everybody to care as much as me. And he doesn't like the entitled guys. And you look at some of those rosters. Now, Chicago was different.
Especially
he liked
Minnesota.
Those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Minnesota and Philly. Karl yeah. Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins. I mean, he beat those dudes in that famous practice
Simmons
with the third team. Yeah.
But Philly made a tremendous mistake giving that all that money
to
Tobias Harris.
And by the way, it wasn't even Embiid as much. Clearly him and Embiid are fine. It's clearly Ben Simmons was the issue with him.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. You guys are in the league, and I'm out of my depth, so...
no, you're not. What is going on here? Manny Machado hit a home run here off Dustin May. It's 7-4 in the eighth inning. What the hell?
Oh, yeah, 7-4, and Kenley Jansen not available today, so that means we get Blake Treinen in the closer role. I like that. Yeah. I'm done with Kenley Jansen.
You're done?
It's over.
Why?
It's over. Because I've seen too many rocky innings. Line. Last night, I don't want to end my night with the bases loaded and Kenley Jansen squeaking out a save.
He only
I don't
did
need
that
for
the,
to go to sleep at night.
He only did that for the ratings, Mace. He could have done 1, 2, 3, but
I mean,
boring.
I flipped over, and here's the thing. It allowed me to make the joke on Twitter that is Kenley going to pull a Clippers? Blowing
there
a
you
go.
Oh, yes.
There you go.
Good point. All right, so tomorrow's our big football day. Steve Fezzik is going to join us. Do you guys know who the Fez is?
I do know the Fez. He worked with RJ Bell, didn't he?
Yeah, he's the ultimate gambling guy. He gave us like 10 winners in 11 weeks last year.
Wow.
So he'll be on the show tomorrow, the Fez, at 1:40 p.m. And then Matthew Berry, the talented Mr. Roto, all your fantasy football questions at 2:30 tomorrow. So a big football day tomorrow.
You know, I mentioned Momo's joining us at 4:15. At 5, Key is going to stop by.
Nice.
And Key's already put out a video calling out Marcellus. Has anyone ever seen Marcellus? I feel like he's on witness protection or something.
I texted with Marcellus today, and he said contractually he's not allowed to come on the show.
Oh, no. Well,
that's,
but I mean,
that's
Max
straight
made
trash. He came on with Max.
That's what I said. I said you went on with Max.
Yeah.
He said
no
contract.
Max says he's on the Witness Protection Network, so I don't know. I can't find him anywhere, neither can LZ, so I was wondering if you guys found
him. Yeah, O'Shea challenged him, too. O'Shea wants a direct apology from Marcellus Wiley. Yeah. Marcellus is laying low. He's laying low right now. Mm. All right, we're back tomorrow at 1, coming up for you right now, America's Finest Afternoon Drive Show. George and LZ, and standing by is Shosh with traffic.
Hey, Steve, thank you so much. Rough ride on this Wednesday. Going back to Linwood, 105 eastbound, right after the 710 and Garfield Avenue. It's still a singular. We've got an overturned car. It's got the carpool, 2 left lanes blocked. Traffic has stopped from the 110. This report sponsored by Taco Bell. Get Taco Bell's taco and burrito cravings pack for the friends that get it. 4 crunchy tacos and 4 beefy 5-layer burritos only at Taco Bell for a limited time at a participating Taco Bell location near you. I'm Karen K, 710 ESPN.